ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 7 चैप्टर 7 चैप्टर इज एंटाइटल्ड व्हाट प्रहलाद लर्न इन द वूम टेक्स्ट नंबर 23। देहस्तु सर्वसंघातो जगत्तष्टुरिति द्विगा अत्रैव मृग्यः पुरुषो नेति नेति त्यजन्। ट्रांसलेशन एंड पर्पोर्ट बाय हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस एसी भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी श्रील प्रभुपाद। ट्रांसलेशन। देर आर टू काइंड्स ऑफ बॉडीज फॉर एवरी इंडिविजुअल सोल, अ ग्रॉस बॉडी मेड ऑफ 5 ग्रॉस एलिमेंट्स and a subtle body made of 3 subtle elements. Within these bodies, however, is the spirit soul. One must find the soul by analysis, saying, this is not it, this is not it. Thus, one must separate spirit from matter. Purport. As previously stated, Swarnam yatha gravasu hema kara shetrasu योगैस्तद् अभिज्ञ आप्नुयात्। An expert in the study of soil can find out where gold is and then dig there. He can then analyze the stone and test the gold with nitric acid. Similarly, one must analyze the whole body to find within the body the spirit soul. In studying one's own body, one must ask himself whether his head is his soul, his fingers are his soul, his hand is his soul, and so on. In this way, one must gradually reject all the material elements and the combinations of material elements in the body. Then, if one is expert and follows the Acharya, he can understand that he is a spiritual soul living within the body. The greatest Acharya Krishna begins his teaching in the Bhagavad Gita by saying, देहिनोस्मिन् यथा देहे कौमारं यौवनं जरा तथा देहांतरप्राप्तिर् धीरस्तत्र न मुह्यति। As the embodied soul continuously passes in this body from boyhood to youth to old age, the soul similarly passes into another body at death. The self-realized soul is not bewildered by such a change. Bhagavad Gita 2.13. The spirit soul possesses the body and is within the body. This is the real analysis. The soul never mixes with the bodily elements. Although the soul is within the body, it is separate and always pure. One must analyze and understand his self. This is self-realization. Neti neti is the analytical process of rejecting matter. By expertly conducting such an analysis, one can understand where the soul is. One who is not expert, however, cannot distinguish gold from earth, nor the soul from the body. Hare Krishna. In this particular purport, Srila Prabhupada has so many times used this word, analyze, analysis, analytical. So basically Srila Prabhupada is describing here the process of Sankhya, wherein a person analyzes the 24 material elements, and then comes to the conclusion that this body is working because of the presence of spirit soul, and this whole cosmic material manifestation, which itself is a big body, is working because of the super soul. So Srila Prabhupada in this purport is very wonderfully giving an example of studying of the soil to find out where the gold is and then digging there to find the gold. So Prabhupada used this analysis to say that just like an expert in the study of the soil, he first tries to locate where the gold is, and then digs the place and then finds the gold. Similarly, an expert person should analyze the material elements, the body, the gross body and the subtle body, and then dig out, or rather search out, the main element, that is the spirit soul. So this is Sankhya philosophy, analyzing material elements and ultimately reaching to the point of soul, and then ultimately super soul. So we see that it's not an easy process, it needs expertise, Prabhupada says. By expertly conducting such analysis, one can come to right conclusion. So analytical understanding or experimentation is an expert art. It's an art in itself. But you find here, Prahlad Maharaj, a five-year-old boy, is expertly speaking the Sankhya philosophy. I was very fortunate that Srila Prabhupada has spoken on this verse many times. So I went to Prabhupada lectures and got some points of Prabhupada. So Prabhupada says, how Srila Prahlad Maharaj was able to understand all these things? A five-year-old boy, first of all, understanding it, and now he's speaking it to whom? Similar people, similar children. And who are the children? The children of the demons. So Prabhupada says, Mukam karoti vachalam pangu langayati girim yat kripatam ahamandi shri gurum dinatarinam paramanandam madhavam. Prahlad Maharaj has been empowered by his spiritual master and Lord Krishna. And therefore, Mukam karoti vachalam, just like a dumb person can speak eloquently, similarly Prahlad Maharaj, a simple five-year-old boy, is speaking eloquent Sankhya philosophy here of how one should analyze the material elements. Srila Prabhupada, in another lecture, he mentions that how, if you see the study of science, it is also based on analytical understanding or analysis. Prabhupada, in one of his lectures, goes into detail, what is this science? Science means different kinds of studies. So Prabhupada mentions, there is study of earth. So what they do? A soil expert, he will go and study what kind of minerals, and he tries to seek out gold, mica, silver, and so on and so forth. But this is a very advanced knowledge. It is not taught in schools. One has to really go more advanced and study in higher realms the knowledge of the soil. So Prabhupada says that the study of soil is a greatly specialized science, Prabhupada says. But in one place, in the Krishna book, when Srila Prabhupada is narrating the pastime of Lord Krishna and Balaram going to Sandipani Muni's ashram for studying under him, and how in 64 days and 64 nights, Lord Krishna, he mastered the 64 arts. And there Srila Prabhupada says that the study of soil, Krishna studied it, and Prabhupada says that this was initially an ordinary knowledge. Everyone knew it. But now it's a specialized branch. So this is a degradation of education. It's not some advancement. Prabhupada continues that study of earth, beyond study of earth, if you go more finer, then there is study of liquids. That is study of petrol, study of oil, liquid things, etc. More finer is study of fire, Prabhupada says. That is study of electricity. More finer is study of air. Prabhupada says people study how to build airplanes, airplane, how they fly, how they move, the movement of air, how to manipulate that movement, rocket propulsions. This is all study of air. The study of ether is more finer. Electronics, Prabhupada says. Ethereal transformation of one thing to another. We know how electrical impulses are converted into sound impulse, sound waves. More finer, Prabhupada says, the study of mind, study of psychiatry, psychology. More finer, Prabhupada says, study of intelligence. And Prabhupada says, not much study has been done, little speculation here and there. And Prabhupada says, the best thing is, no one has gone beyond the intelligence. No one knows the study of soul. The Prabhupada could go and challenge in various universities when he gave lecture. We heard from so many times devotees saying that Prabhupada went to MIT and he would say, you know, or Harvard, he would say, where is the department of soul, study of soul? The best of the universities all over the world, but no department for soul. So Prabhupada said, it's useless. They're analyzing so many material elements, but hardly reaching to conclusions. And then Prabhupada in another lecture quoted one nice shloka. Yasyatma buddhi kunapetri dhaduke swadhi klatra adishu bhum ijyadi yattirtha buddhi na salile na karachich janeshu abhigeshu sa eva gokharaha. Prabhupada says, any study you have, if it is not going beyond the body, it is what? Sa eva gokharaha. It is simply useless. It is study of not a human life. It is something which is common to even animals. And therefore, Srila Prabhupada was never impressed by this great advancement of science, because Prabhupada saw that everything which is being studied under science is not going beyond the level of intelligence. People are just digging grave earth and then finding some research, but nothing beyond intelligence. Therefore, Srila Prabhupada would always be confident whenever anyone approached him. Why? Because he knew whatever they do, they are below intelligence. They are not beyond intelligence. I mean, if a great scholar comes to our temple, then we really take care of him very well, and we appreciate he's a PhD scholar and he's done so much of advancement, he has done so much of research. But for Prabhupada, anyone would come to Prabhupada, they were all same, because Prabhupada knew ultimately his research is within the body. He doesn't know what is the aim of human life. So I was referring to one conversation of Srila Prabhupada with Dr. Benford. So Dr. Benford comes to meet Prabhupada, and Prabhupada is sitting nicely, and Dr. Benford is asking a question to Prabhupada. Swamiji, what is your understanding about moon landing? And Prabhupada says, why go there for sleeping? So he's surprised that how Swami is saying, why go there for sleeping? So he's saying, but Swamiji, we have spent so many billions of dollars, so much of research on moon landing. Prabhupada says, yes, so much billions of dollars wasted just for sleeping. Go there and sleep. So he's a little bewildered. And then he says, Swami, what about nuclear physics? Since you're using all this nuclear physics for eating, sleeping, mating and defending, you're not improved over animals. It is polished animal life, Prabhupada says. Now, Benford is a little more surprised, bewildered. And he says, Swamiji, you seem to using the word, the science as, what is the use of this science? But I am speaking about the glory of science. Is it not wonderful? Is it not joyful to research something and get something out, some discovery? I'm not asking about the use, just the discovery, the sheer joy of discovering something. And Prabhupada says, he continues, he said, what about, just example, like we have gone deep and studied research on a grass, and we have found so many atoms and molecules, and so many forces are binding this molecule. Is it not so wonderful to find all those things? It was never, it was first time we are knowing all about this grass. Prabhupada says, what is the use of studying grass? Grass will still grow without your studying. You study grass, and you produce so many voluminous books. What is the use? And now Benford becomes a little angry. He said, but ultimately God has made it. Prabhupada, that's the point. The point is, you would rather study grass than God. What is the use? Better understand God, automatically you'll understand everything about God's creation. But then you separate grass from God and study grass and print volumes of books, all useless. So Benford says, okay, then what is useful then? Prabhupada says, you should study what you are. That should be the your research matter. You should analyze that you are a spirit soul. You should ask questions. Why pass through so many species? I don't wish to die, but I am afraid, and yet I have to die. You should ask these questions, Prabhupada says. I don't want unhappiness, but it is forced. I don't want disease, it is forced. I don't want old age, it is forced. Who is forcing this on me? That you should ask questions. That you should research on. And if you know these two things, who you are and what all things related to you are, that is real knowledge. And these are real problems, so you have to solve these problems. We have very less time, Prabhupada told. there is no time to study all this foliage. Better study what is there in the body. Who is the main person in the body? So, Srila Prabhupada also mentioned that all the studying of this material science, going deep, doing PhD, is nothing but the given analogy, the example of that foolish the woodcutter who would sit on the branch of the tree and was cutting the same branch. In Hindi, it's called Sheikh Chilli. He was cutting the same branch and ultimately he fell down because he was cutting the same branch on which he was sitting. And Prabhupada says that you study things and then what you do? Use that things for eating, sleeping, mating and defending. Exploit. I remember Shaman was once mentioning that ultimately whatever you come to knowledge, everything boils down, the use of all those things is for eating, sleeping, mating and defending. The invention of internet. Ultimately, now eating, sleeping, mating and defending, that's all. Invention of anything, any discovery, technology, ultimately used for eating, sleeping, mating. Because we don't have knowledge beyond intelligence. So everything we invent will be used for eating, sleeping, mating and defending. So Prabhupada is speaking here that we are trying to find some knowledge in this material world and ultimately using for eating, sleeping, mating and defending, exploiting the resources, and what happened when the branch breaks, we fall down. For example, research on oil. They are trying the expertise to find out where oil is and digging the earth to find out oil. And now so much of exploitation of oil resources, and there is now alarm, danger everywhere, that so much of oil has been used and the world is going to face a real calamity in tomorrow, future. If all the oil reserves go away, they all end, then human race is going to face extinction. Like Gopinath Chandrapur was giving other day Brahmachari class, he was mentioning, we are so much dependent on the oil reserves, we are so much exploited, that 10 calorie of crude oil today produces 1 calorie of edible food. It has no connection, but we have been so much into technological advancement and development that we don't produce anything in the cities. We have to get everything from outside and transportation and all this. So many industries are there working, packaging and all. 10 calories of crude oil makes 1 calorie of edible food. So this is a problem. And we also know that how in material world, when some analysis takes place, many times they come to mistakes. You know, so many mistakes are made by the scientists. And some mistakes are really absurd. I heard this example from Gaurangpur's class. He was mentioning that how one PhD professor was doing a research on a cockroach. And he first trained the cockroach to behave or to follow his orders. And then he would order the cockroach, get up and walk. The cockroach would get up and walk. So then he conducted his research more further. He broke one leg of the cockroach. And then he told cockroach, get up and walk. And the cockroach struggled a little and walked ahead. Then the scientist, he broke one more leg. And again, he said the same thing to cockroach, get up and walk. Eventually, he started breaking one by one all the legs. And it was natural the cockroach would struggle to walk. And finally, when all the legs were broken, and he said, cockroach, get up and walk. Cockroach could not walk. And he came to an absurd conclusion that as we break one by one leg, one by one each leg of a cockroach, the hearing capacity of the cockroach grows down. And finally, when all the breaks are broken, he becomes a deaf person. He cannot hear. So such experiments are conducted and people come to absurd mistakes by analytic studies. Because it is all coming in the realm of pratyaksha praman and then anuman praman. Seeing, if you don't have much data, then extrapolation or inference. So, therefore many times scientific discoveries prove wrong. Like Rajviharipu just gave me two examples, nice examples. He wrote that how 40 years back, there was Dr. Stephen Hawkins who created the theory of black hole theory. And for 40 years, he propagated this theory. He preached this theory, wrote books on those. And recently, he said that black hole theory has some mistakes. After 40 years of his research and his faith in black hole theory, he's saying now it has some problems, so I'm going to change it. He was also mentioning another example that there was one scientist who somehow came to conclusion that maybe there is soul, but he wanted to be still analytical to understanding the soul, you know, through science, not through Shastra. So he decided to know something about the soul. So this was Dr. Duncan Douglas. Dr. Duncan Dougal. So he decided to check the weight of the soul. So he came upon a person who was about to die. So he measured his weight. And then in 1 minute he died. And then he measured his weight after that. And then he did a calculation. Weight of the person before dying and after dying. And the, when he did a subtraction, the remaining weight came something like, you know, 21 grams. And he said, this is the weight of the soul. So we can see analytical study, sometime if it's not properly guided by a Shastra, we can come to absurd mistakes. And that's what Prabhupada says, you know, that just an absurd mistake if you don't go beyond the intelligence. So Prabhupada says we should go beyond intelligence, go to the matter of soul. And Prabhupada says this is where Bhagavad Gita begins. Bhagavad Gita begins where intelligence fails. Arjuna's intelligence failed. And Krishna started from where intelligence failed. And then he began from which point? He began from the point of knowledge of the soul. Dehi nusmin yatha dehi, as Prabhupada quotes here in this purport. And that is the beginning of understanding, real understanding. So Prabhupada says here, as per Sankhya philosophy, one should analyze the body. Neti, neti. One should analyze, this is my blood. Am I the blood? No. These are my fingers. Am I the finger? No. These are my hands. Am I the hands? No. So when you analyze all the bodily parts, we can see that we are different from the bodily parts. And then we can start studying that we are different from the body. Then we can ask question, who are we? And where am I? That is called the progression of the Sankhya philosophy. Srila Prabhupada says, in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu spoke his teachings to Sanatana Goswami. And he began from the point where a person comes to ask the question, who is he and what is his position? And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu picked up from the point and he says, Krishnera Nityadas. Jivere Swarup Hoye Krishnera Nityadas. So that is the point where our philosophy of Krishna consciousness begins. And that is the point where our ISKCON movement also begins. And Prabhupada says, many times, many jnanis, many scholars, they criticize Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement. What is this dancing and chanting going on? And Prabhupada says, they cannot understand because they are beneath the intelligence. And our movement starts when? Beyond the intelligence. So when someone is beneath the intelligence, how he can appreciate something which is beyond the intelligence? Our movement starts from where? The soul begins. So defect is not in us, Prabhupada says. The defect is in them. They are not able to understand us. Then Prabhupada says, nonetheless, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is very kind. He says, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu knows people cannot be analytical, cannot follow Sankhya. Very difficult to analyze bodily elements and then distinguishing, come to the point of where is the soul. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is so magnanimous, he has agreed to allow everyone to join this movement and chant and dance. And what happens when one person chants and dances? Then Chetu Darpana Marjanam. Then he gets purified and then he knows, who am I? So there is one process of Sankhya where one person analyzes, I am not this, I am not this, I am not this, and comes to conclusion, who am I? And then goes ahead to find out that he is spirit soul. And there is one process of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, which is whether you analyze or don't analyze, come and chant Hare Krishna, dance with devotees, and Chetu Darpana Marjanam, you get purified, and then you come to know, who am I? This is very easy. So Prabhupada says, this is the difference between Sankhya and Yoga. Sankhya is understanding elements, and Yoga is directly engaging in devotional service. Prabhupada gave a very nice example. I'll try to relate the example with today's world. Like for example, someone is speaking. Govind Prabhu comes and speaks a lecture. So the lecture is recorded here. When the lecture is recorded here, you give the lecture to someone new. So तो सांख्य फिलोसोफी इज ट्राइंग टू स्टडी द कैसेट, द रील, द टेप, एंड फाइनली थिंकिंग हूज स्पीच इज दिस. And finally, after a lot of study, then he comes to the point that, okay, this is Govind Prabhu from Radha Gopinath Temple, ISKCON Chowpatty, he is speaking. But devotional service is what? You know Krishna first, and then automatically you know everything. So someone is sitting here, someone is regularly coming to Bhagavatam class here. When he gets that tape from Hare Krishna Prabhu, it's recorded here. So immediately what he does, he hears the tape. And this is Govind Prabhu's class. But who recorded his class? Where it was recorded, how it was recorded, all this information comes to him. Why? Because he has understood first Govind Prabhu's class, so it's ISKCON Chowpatty, and therefore it is sound system department was recorded, and so on and so forth. So instead of beginning from something which you don't know, and I finally come to the point that Govind Prabhu has spoken, if you know Govind Prabhu, you know everyone. So devotional service is knowing Krishna first. And when you know Krishna first, you engage in Krishna's service automatically by the process of devotional service, you know everything related to Krishna. That is the knowledge of devotional service, and that is the difference between Sankhya and devotional service. In the fifth chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna very beautifully says that Sankhya and Yoga both are same. He mentions Sankhya Yoga Prithak Bala Prabhadanti Na Panditaha Ekam Api Astita Samyag Ubayor Vindate Phalam. Lord Krishna says, only the ignorant speak of devotional service, that is yoga, as being different from the analytical study of material world, Sankhya. That is, only an ignorant person will say that Sankhya is different from bhakti. But those who are actually learned say that he who applies himself well to one of these paths achieves the result of both. Prabhupada elaborates, the aim of Sankhya or analytical study of the material world is to find out the soul of existence. And the soul of material world is Vishnu. And what is devotional service? Devotional service means rendering service to Vishnu. So one process is to find the root of the tree, and other is to water the root. The real student of Sankhya philosophy finds the root, that is Vishnu, and then perfect knowledge, he engages himself in watering the root or rendering service to Lord Krishna. Therefore, in essence, there is no difference between Sankhya and Yoga, because ultimately they are reaching the same point. Through analytical study, finally you reach the point that Krishna is the one who is the root of all existence, and then you engage in Krishna's service. And devotional service is before only first hand begin serving Krishna. Lord Krishna continues, he says, one who knows that a position reached by means of analytical study can also be attained by devotional service, and who therefore sees analytical study and devotional service to be on the same level, he sees things as they are. So Krishna consciousness and Sankhya, as Prabhupada says, they are on the same level. And who sees them as same, they see things as they are. Prabhupada again says, by Sankhya philosophy, one comes to the point that living entities, part and parcel of material world, but part and parcel of Krishna, and consequently he has nothing to do with material world, but he has to do with Krishna. And Krishna consciousness is nothing but from the day one, he has to engage in activities concerning with Krishna. So, after saying these two verses, the Prabhupada says, even though Krishna is saying that both are same, but Krishna, in the entire chapter later, is recommending Arjuna to take up yoga. Why? Because Krishna knows Sankhya is difficult and sometimes can be dangerous also. Why? Because Sankhya process involves to give up activities. And if the material senses are not purified, to give up activities might be dangerous. A person might take up again sense gratification process because the senses are not properly engaged. Therefore, renunciation is incomplete. On the other hand, devotional service is very much safe. Why? Because devotional service means from a day one engaging the senses in Lord's service, and then senses are purified, and eventually a person comes to the pure platform of Krishna consciousness. And Prabhupada says in the purport that Mayavadi sannyasis and Vaishnava sannyasis, the difference is the Mayavadi sannyasis are analytically trying to understand the material world, and therefore there can be danger for them. Many times after discussing Aham Brahmasmi for long, long years, they get tired. And then they take up study of Bhagavatam without proper understanding. But on the other hand, a Vaishnava Sannyasi, he doesn't leave anything. In fact, he engages all of his body, mind, words. He himself is engaged in Krishna service. And thus he gets purified. So that is the point. So Prahlad Maharaj is 5-year-old boy here. And at the age of 5 years, he is speaking Sankhya philosophy. Where was the time for him to analyze material elements? Because he has understood his knowledge because he has rendered devotional service to Lord Krishna. And by rendering devotional service to Lord Krishna, he has come to the conclusion, perfect conclusion, what a Sankhya. Sankhya, it will come to conclusion after long research. Finally, to the end, there are two examples I'll quote to understand how devotional service is better than understanding Sankhya. Why? Because devotional service is very easy. No need of analyzing all those things. You practice Krishna consciousness, chanting, dancing, and ultimately whatever is to be known through the process of Krishna consciousness by the mercy of Guru and Krishna, you know. Burijan Poo gives an example that Sankhya process is like you have to do two things. One is you have something in hand, some metal piece. You have to give the metal piece, keep the metal piece down, and in the same hand you have to lift an axe. So Sankhya means first detaching from the metal piece. And after detaching from the metal piece, then you go ahead and pick up the axe, the positive activity. So Burijan Poo says the devotional service is don't worry about metal piece. Go and try to directly lift the axe. When you want to lift the axe, you cannot lift the axe unless that piece in your hand is given up. So automatically while being enamored to lift the axe, you will give up the metal piece and lift the axe. And a very beautiful example to know more of this is that a small child in the house, sometimes a small child, he goes here and there and picks up some things, some valuable. Let's take for example, the child picks up a 500 rupee note. A 500 rupee note in a small child's hand, what child will do? It can possibly tear the note. So now the father wants to, Now the father wants to take the 500 rupee note from the child. Now if he takes the note by force, two things can happen. The child is holding the note very much tight. So the note can get teared off, or either the child will start crying. The other thing is get a lollipop, get a sweet, and show it to the child. The child will see the lollipop, the child will see the 500 rupee note. Now for the child, the lollipop is more higher taste than that 500 rupee note. Now child will come ahead with the same note, the same hand carrying the note, come up. The dangling lollipop is in the front. And while receiving the lollipop, the child will not even see that the note is falling down. That is the process of Krishna consciousness. When you engage our senses in Krishna service, automatic detachment takes place. There is no need of separate endeavor of neti-neti. It's automatic. That is the process of Krishna consciousness. Therefore, Srila Prabhupada says, by expertly conducting such analysis, one can understand where the soul is. One who is not expert, however, cannot distinguish gold from earth, nor the soul from the body. So therefore, in Kali Yuga, we are not expert in analyzing things. The best process is given by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu for us to chant, dance and associate devotees. And slowly, slowly, when the intelligence is purified, the mind is purified, the senses are purified, then we come to an understanding who we are, what is our relationship with Krishna, and thus we progress back home, back to world. Thank you very much, Hare Krishna. Any comments? Any comments are there? Gaur Gopal, do you want to add something? Question? Oh, yes, one question.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Yes. Thank you for a good class on science and technology.
Thank you.
Many times, children, especially in 8th standard, 9th standard, 10th standard, raise this point. If you try to explain to them that all the science and you know that we are reading chemistry, physics, it's all changing. Like a lot of these theories change over so many years. So sometimes they come up with this question: if it's, you know, if it's changing, and you tell us it's changing, then why should we be studying this? You know, it's, as it is, they don't want to study. And on top of that, you tell them it's changing, it's a waste of time. Not in, in the sense that one should not study, but it's changing to show that look for also permanent, you know, technology. Look for permanent science, which is science of the soul. So then why should we even study this if it is changing all the time? So it's a little difficult to answer that.
Well, in our ISKCON history also, we see so many things. You know, over the years, we have changed our pattern of preaching also. Like, for example, initially when Prabhupada was there, and Prabhupada encouraged, don't study, come and join. And everyone would join this Krishna. Because Prabhupada thought, they are not interested in study, why just force them to study? And join Hare Krishna and preach and distribute books. And would send everyone out and make centers. And those who were really interested in studying, Prabhupada would encourage them. Like so many devotees we have in ISKCON, who under the guidance of Prabhupada, they studied PhD and all those things. But as our movement progressed ahead, for since Prabhupada is not there physically here, we can't be just imitating Prabhupada. So, I mean, we still encourage our students to study and use that study in preaching. Like today, no one will appreciate such a person coming without any knowledge of, like if some temple assistant devotee goes to a college for preaching and he is introduced as B.Tech from IIT, people will appreciate hearing from him. So, we neither encourage much nor discourage much. Actually, it's a very vast knowledge. Recently, Maharaj gave a very powerful lecture on this education of children, and Maharaj had a complete different view of education altogether. So, I don't want to get in trap of this. You can hear Maharaj. Actually, Maharaj, when he spoke that class, he said, this lecture should be circular to all devotees, especially parents. Let them also analyze. What is the use of education? So I don't want to promote, neither go against it, because I have no connection with those education things now. So, I mean, you can ask some senior devotees like Shaman Bruja, or you can ask Krishna Nambu. He has put his child in IIT, so he can better answer. He may also have faced that ask question before from Namanand Prabhu. Hare Krishna. Shri Prabhupada ki jai. Gantra Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.